Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Brian, of course, Brian Wampler of the Wampler Pedals and Amplifiers. And today, I'm talking to Blake Weiland, and we talk about his live stream he did earlier for a minute. And then we get into a heavy topic about guitar shop etiquette. The basic idea being, what exactly should you do when you go into a guitar store? How long should you stay? Should you bring your own guitar? Or is it wrong to go into a guitar store and not buy anything? So all that and more, and let's get into the episode right now.
Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Blake.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, as I always am.
Of course. Why wouldn't you be?
I'm always fabulous. You know why? Because I get to play guitar pedals every day for a living.
That is pretty cool.
It can be, except when let's say you're testing like 3,000 euphorias.
Mm-hmm.
It gets old after a while. You're like, man, I just want to play something else. You know, like let's play something else. No. We have to test these. This sucks. My life is so bad. It's horrible.
It's horrible. It's the worst life ever. There's no one that has it worse than me.
Exactly. I don't know how I'm going to cope with these pains.
Man. Yeah, well, I feel you. I mean, I play guitar pedals almost every day. And it's, I don't suffer from that problem. And if I did, it may take the shine off a little bit.
I can understand that.
But probably not too bad. Because, you know, contrary to popular belief, I've done things like roof houses.
Yeah.
Climb under crawl spaces, and that's much worse.
Yeah, I've done that
so
too.
So much worse.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Anyways. So it sounds like we have two different topics today. Maybe.
Yeah, mine's not terribly in-depth, but it's an interesting note, and want to get your thoughts on it because I know you've participated in such events before.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah, mine's a little more drawn out, so we'll go with yours first.
Okay. Cool. So I recently started doing some live video stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of I like doing it, and it's kind of an interesting I don't know what the word is. It feels weird. Because
so you're talking like Facebook live video or?
So this time I did an Instagram, just because I haven't. Which Instagram's a little bit different than Facebook in that the Instagram live videos they are not savable. They disappear. As soon as you're done going live, they're gone. Kind of like a Snapchat.
It's Snapchat but live.
Exactly. So you know you can go as long as you want, but it's live. You can sit down just like Facebook with your phone and go through everything and broadcast as long as you want. The difference is, yeah, once that's over, it's over. You can't go back and watch it or anything. Which is kind of cool in the fact that if you make a buffoon of yourself, like I do, that it goes away. So that
except for the people that saw you make an ass of yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
See, that's my problem with live video. I'm too much of a goof.
Yeah, it's easier for me to be less of a goof by myself, if that makes any sense. I can be a little more like, okay, here's the pedals. So what I did is I took like four or five fuzz pedals and just ran through them real quick, you know, and showed what they sound like.
I'd kind of make a joke that I come off too much like a goof. And not to start to interrupt you, but there was actually, if you look at our old YouTube videos and you look at our YouTube videos now, I'm like two different people. It's because there was a point in time where I'm like, all right, I'm tired of like trying to be more professional. I'm just going to be me. And so it started getting a little, I don't know, goofier.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you were doing it, you know, earlier than many people as far as in the pedal industry goes.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be what it is now. I just thought it was fun to upload some stuff to YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2007, it's my earliest video, I think.
Oh, I forgot.
6 or 7.
No. I forgot. Something happened the other day, speaking of YouTube, which it's related, but it's kind of not related at the same time.
Okay.
So, okay. 7 years ago, Leon, you know him, and our current drummer, his name's Joshua, made a ridiculous video, where it was all Joshua in the video, but it's hard to describe, but if you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. He is the band, basically, and he's fake playing like 4 different instruments, and it's all green screened together, and it's just absolute nonsense. And it has like random things in the background, like Family Matters clips and Hanging with Mr. Cooper and all this stuff. And the song that they're playing is, I don't know if you know this band, maybe you do. It's a TSOL, and the song is
Two Sons of Liberty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Glass Streets. Yeah.
I don't remember the names of the songs. I just remember when I was a youngster, I listened to them a lot when I skated. I was a skater.
Totally.
And not like one of the skaters nowadays. I mean, like, I was a real skater. You know, like, I had a half pipe. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I had multiple half pipes through my youth, but it was, you know, that's, we're getting way off topic. But yeah, it was a hell of a fun time when I was a kid, man. That was great.
I was a skateboarder too as a youngster, so I can relate. Although I wasn't very good, but it was fun.
Go ahead.
So there's this video, and it's been on YouTube for like 7 years, and it had been viewed 89 times, and it received its first comment ever, and it was the comment that we wanted. We've been wanting this comment to happen for so long. And it was, what the heck, man? This isn't TSOL. And I don't know why. Like, we were hoping that would happen like 7 years ago. And it just now happened yesterday.
It was funny 7 years ago. You're about 7 years late, dude.
Yeah. And now we watched it again and we forgot how stupid that video was in the best way. It was so ridiculous. But anyway,
that's great.
Speaking of old YouTube videos. So that's
fun. Here's the fun little YouTube fact for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, Brett Kingman, please correct me if I'm wrong, if you happen to be listening to this, but I think this is how this went. So Brett Kingman, one of the very first demo videos he did was for Our Pinnacle. And it happened because, this is years ago, it happened because in a newsletter, I had the idea that I would give away a free pedal to a person who posted the best demo of one of our pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just like a little contest I just done back then. And I liked his, and so I gave him a free pedal, of course. But it's kind of funny that, you know, this was before he was doing all the demos and stuff. Like, he might have just been had, like, band stuff on his page. I don't remember. But from there on, that went over really well. And from there on, he started doing more demos. Fun little fact for you.
That is funny.
So
I had no idea.
Everyone who likes Brett Kingman, you're welcome. That's really what I'm trying to say. No, I'm just kidding. Brett's a heck of a guy.
That's awesome. That is funny. I did not know that. I probably watched that demo at some point. I've watched a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, it's like an old Pinnacle. Like an old one. It's even got the sticker graphic.
Anyway.
Which is
speaking of demos, I don't want to bring everyone down too much, but you probably seen what happened or what was announced yesterday. I'm assuming.
No.
Well, this is a little bit awkward. I just kind of assumed you did. You know, owner of PGS.
I thought you meant like as far as the pedal goes.
Well, yes. I thought about pedal demos, and you can't think of pedal demos without thinking of Pro Guitar Shop, and that's
right.
Where my brain went.
Yeah, actually, man, that kind of got me a little upset because I knew Aaron pretty well just from dealing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he was sick or anything. It just so everyone's clear.
Yeah, we should probably say, happened.
CEO of Tone Report and Pro Guitar Shop passed away from, I think it was brain cancer.
Yeah, he'd been, I talked to one of the guys over there briefly, and he'd been unbeknownst to most people, battling brain cancer for the last 2 years. So, it's kind of a, you know, that company has had a really big impact on the gear world. You know, it's kind of like I told Tom over there, who does a lot of stuff with Tone Report. I just said, like, I think Pro Guitar Shop's, like, part of the reason, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing today is because I got so into gear through them. So I think his impact, you know, was a little more, little larger than even people may realize, because there's, I know it's affected a lot more than just me. There's lots of guys in that position.
And it stimulated the economy quite a bit, I think.
Oh, in a big way. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That was the economic package that Aaron came up with, you know, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying.
But anyway, yeah. Well, I'm sure those guys over there are going to keep on keeping on. But you know, it's a little bit of a sad day in the gear world.
Definitely, so. Definitely. I hope they do keep going with it. Mm-hmm. So, so I interrupted you right in the middle of your live stream discussion and totally derailed the entire conversation.
Ironically, you not only interrupted me right in the middle of my live stream discussion, you interrupted me in the middle of my live stream.
Was that when you called me?
No, it was when you texted me and said, I'm back home now. I was like showing some fuzz. I was like, oh, guys, Brian Wampler's texting me to record a podcast right now. I guess I better hurry up and wrap this thing up.
Did they go, who?
I actually got no response out of that, so they may have.
I get that response a lot, mostly from people that know me.
Who?
Okay, so I got a good one today. This is from an email from a listener. His name's David, I'm going to say Agius. Now, I'm not a very smart person, A-G-I-U-S. I'm going to call it Agius.
All right. Okay.
So I'm going to read his email to set it up. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
So I've learned a hell of a lot from your YouTube videos and podcasts, and will continue to do so. Thank you. And yes, I even make my wife listen sometimes. Very good wife you have there. Mm-hmm. Whilst I'm waiting for the new episode, I go back and listen to all my favorite previous episodes. I never get tired of them, especially with the ones with Travis and Max. I don't really care for that Blake fellow though. I'm kidding. I just added that part in.
It's like, man, this hurts. This is cutting deep right now.
I'm teasing you on that one. Okay. He said,
is this where you tell me that I'm fired from the podcast?
No, I'm just kidding. So, but he does say, he wants to give an idea for a podcast, something he went through.
Okay.
And, let me tell you his little story here. So he says, I've always had mainly positive experiences when going to shops to try gear, except my last trip. So we have one major store in Sydney, which has a huge array of new and boutique pedals. It's an awesome place. I went down to the shop and with the intention of walking away with a fuzz pedal. I had a budget, three specific pedals I wanted to try and compare. Your Velvet Fuzz, a Joe Bonamassa Fuzz Face, and a Full Tone Soul Bender. I asked the manager if I could compare all three. And if it was also possible to choose an amp with a clean and dirty channel. He set me up with the pedals and the amp. But seriously, not even 10 minutes in, he asked if I was done. Maybe he was having a bad day. I thought 15, maybe 20 minutes max to try and compare all three with different amp settings. Maybe I'm wrong there too. Maybe that's too long. I then laughed and said, okay, I'll finish up. He then asked why I was taking so long. So I told him that I definitely wanted one of them. I just needed to be really sure before I part with my money. He then said, I then said that I like rolling the volume back on the guitar to see what different flavors I can get out of the pedals and see how well they clean up. He replied with, you don't need to hear a fuzz pedal clean up. Just turn the effing thing off and there's your clean sound. And then he walked off. I thought, that's pretty narrow-minded of him. So just as I thought I may need a couple more minutes to make up my mind, I decided to say thanks and walked out without purchasing anything. I'm always open to other people's ideas, suggestions, comments, and constructive criticism, but that just came across as negative. I went in with a positive attitude and even my own guitar to show that I was serious about walking away happily with the pedal. Now, I would call that a douche sales rep. You know? If the guy worked for me, I'd fire him immediately. I would be completely mad beyond belief, because I think, like I told the guy, I said, you did the right thing. I would have not, I would never, ever spend a dime at that company again, at least until I talk to the manager and tell him what happened and point him out and say, that guy is a pain in your ass and he needs to go. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, guitar shop etiquette. What amount of time is too long? How do you know if you've outstayed your welcome at a music shop? Should you bring your own guitar? What's your thoughts?
My thoughts. Wow, this is really interesting. I got lots of thoughts. So let me preface this by saying there was, emphasis on the was, a music store in my neck of the woods for a very long time. And it was known as like the Jerk Music Store.
Was it called Douche Music?
You know, it was. That should have been the indicator, right? I went in there and all they were playing was Nickelback. It was awkward.
Or was it awesome?
No. Anyway, I'll try to summarize what it was in there. It was just a terrible experience every time you went in. It was like it was a big store and obviously a store that did really well. The only reason it did well, in my opinion, is because it had good inventory, because pretty much all the sales reps were jerks.
Which makes it hard whenever they have everything you'd ever want, but all the guys are complete a-holes.
Tough. Well, this was the big problem, and there's a reason why I only ever made one purchase from them. The problem is why I would be forced to go in there occasionally is if I ever wanted to scratch that Rickenbacker itch, they were the only dealer for like miles and miles and miles.
Right.
And so I did eventually buy a Rickenbacker from them when they were closing their doors and basically giving them away.
Right.
But the point is, I'll just kind of give you the big story from that store and then contrast that with my favorite store. So I went in there looking for a vintage Jazzmaster. They happened to have one. It was overpriced, but hey, I wanted to play it. And I said, hey, could you get that? I think it was a 64 Jazzmaster down. And the guy looked at me and he said, no.
Nope, I don't want to sell a guitar today.
I was like, what do you mean no? I've literally never been told that before. And he was like, no, we don't let people play our vintage guitars.
We profile here, sir. I need to see your wallet.
I was like, are you serious? I was like, I'm interested in that guitar specifically. I want to play it. Because I've played vintage Jazzmasters many times, and I've played one or two that weren't any good. Like, I want to play that one and see if it's a good one.
Well, it's your dollar. You have the right to play it, or they have the right to not sell one.
Yeah, well, and that's totally fine. Yeah, they do.
The consequence, I should say, rather than right. I mean, I guess they do have the right to not sell it, but that's stupid being a business, you know?
But they said, yeah, well, his excuse was, well, people buy from us online without ever playing them, so why would we let people wear and tear our vintage guitars? I said, that's why you go to a guitar store, is to play the guitars. This is insane. And he's like, nope, not going to play it. And I was just like, okay, I'll see you later then. I'm out of here.
Here's a tip to that sales rep. Hopefully he's listening. You could have sold another one that day, but you're too much of an ass, so you didn't.
So contrast that with my favorite store in Portland, which is Old Town Music. I go in there pretty regularly, and it's like, hey, Hank, I see that 1953 gold top up there that's like, you know, however many $1,000. I can't even remember.
Right.
A lot. Can I play that? Oh, yeah. Get it down. Tear it up. Go back there. You know, I told him, like, I'm not going to buy it. You know, I'm not buying this. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just go play. Because, you know, and so I got to rip on this, you know, 50 gold top, you know, for 45 minutes in their back room. And I was taking advantage of that a little bit. You know, I try not to spend that much time in the booth, especially when it's busy. But it was I don't get to play those guitars every day. But the point is, I bought lots and lots and lots. I'm like looking around the room, like, I bought lots of stuff from them. And it's because they're cool people and they carry cool stuff. I'm not going to go spend money with the jerk just because.
Right. Well, I mean, that's part of having the guitar store. I mean, you know, you have a certain atmosphere that makes people want to come in and buy stuff. And, you know, they may play a guitar 10 times and eventually come back and buy it, you know? Mm-hmm. But if, you know, the second they walk in there, you look at them, you think, I don't feel like listening to this guy, or, you know, I just want to watch YouTube videos instead of like talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why you're going out of business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, as well as I knew, not to make this another business episode, but customer service is like everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't have it in 2017, as we record this, you're not going to do well, because there's going to be someone that's really vocal like me that that likes to talk about you on a podcast to, you know, a couple thousand people.
Yeah. Oh, and I promise you, if that store that I'm referring to was still in business, I'd be naming them right now.
Totally.
Only reason I'm not bothering is because they don't exist anymore.
So, I mean, I don't think you like have to bring your own guitar. I think it's more of like, if I'm really serious about, I don't know, maybe an amp or something. Or if, you know, if I am not being lazy that day, I'll bring my guitar, you know, just because I'm familiar with it. I know what it sounds like. I know what to expect out of it. You know, it's like a good pair of underwear. You know, mm-hmm. what the day's got in store when you got a warm pair of underwear on, you know, straight out of the dryer. So it's kind of like that. And I mean, I think that really, there's no bad etiquette. I mean, we all have heard of, you know, we all kind of kid about walking into a guitar store and everybody's like whittling, weeing, you know, whittly, 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 you know, all mm-hmm. over the place. But I think that's just part of it. And I think if you're a sales rep that is like, hey, kid, can you maybe show it up? You're probably not going to last very long in music store retail, you know?
No.
So, I mean, I know I've had customers tell me that they went to a certain store, they talked to a certain guy and got treated a certain way. And I'll call up the owner, or, you know, I mean, if it's a small company, if it's a big company, I'll call it high up and they'll say, hey, this happened. And I don't want to do business with someone where this is going to be common. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys can't, if you want to work with us, then you got to stop sucking. And, you know, and
right.
99.999% of the time, they don't even know about it. Like, they say, I'll take care of it immediately. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, probably the biggest thing I don't think people realize is, like, if you wear a jacket, is like, take your jacket off so the zipper doesn't scratch the back of the guitar.
Belt buckles. You know,
belt buckles is another one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think stuff like that is probably more things to be concerned about versus like how long you're there. I mean, hell, stay there for 3 hours if you want. You know, that's what the store is there for. And I know at least I'm 42 right now. So I remember there was a store.
Old.
Oh, man. I am super old. The store's out of business now. Go figure. But I remember I was 13, maybe. Me and a buddy of mine, name's Joe Scherfick, just in case you happen to wonder, look him up. He would love to hear. He'd love to hear from you, I'm sure. He'll probably text me next week saying, you suck.
I'll shoot him an email.
So, you know, I grew up playing guitar with him, just, you know, a couple kids beating around on guitars and trading pedals back and forth and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, we walk into this guitar store, and we are the typical kid, like, we want to play some Stairway to Heaven, man. You know, we're coming in to jam. We want to show off our three licks, you know? And the owner said, if you guys aren't going to buy anything, you need to leave. Or either that, or if you're not going to buy anything, you need to put the guitars down. Never bought anything from that store. And, you know, had he thought, maybe these kids have parents who are willing to buy music equipment for their kids. Had he thought that, he probably would have bought a bunch of pedals over the next couple of years, a bunch of amps, several guitars. Like, he could have made money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even as a 13-year-old kid, I'm like, screw you, buddy. If that's the way you're going to treat me, then you're never going to get my business.
Well, totally.
So I ended up going to, you know, I went to a place here in Greenwood, Indiana called Guitar Works. And their slogan is, what's it, the place to take your pick or something like that. And the whole idea back then was, he was one of the few. Well, and Indiana is like isn't like a hotbed of guitar stores, right? So he was one of the few stores that he encouraged you to come in, just jam. You know,
cool.
And yeah, so it's anyways, yeah. So that fellow ended up getting a lot of my business over the years.
One thing to note, I should say, and it's not a hard and fast rule, especially if you buy a lot of stuff normally. But I always thought, like, if I went to the guitar store, especially one, like, once you find your store, like, if you're fortunate enough, like, I have, like, this, I just have my store. That's where I go 99% of the time.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes I just want to go to the guitar store just to see what new stuff they have or old stuff they have or whatever.
Right.
I've been in there before and it's like, yeah, there's some cool stuff, but nothing I really need today.
Mm-hmm.
But I did spend an hour in here, like, trying pedals. I guess I'll pick up some strings, you know, like
right.
I do think there's a little bit of, you know, I mean, if you're broke, you're broke. So you can't, that's understandable. But like, if you know, if you did spend a whole bunch of time in there, buy some strings, you know, something you're going to need anyway. That way you didn't like totally kind of waste the store's time. And a good store is not going to care. But I think if we're talking etiquette, that is something I've mentally done before. I'm like, I didn't really need anything today. I better get some strings, you know.
Right, because you're gonna use them anyways, so you might as well get some while you're there. You know,
you might as well get some while you're there, and you might as well like spend a couple bucks on the store that you just, you know, spent 3 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts no one and helps people. So,
or if you're just gonna hang out, make yourself useful and sell some equipment, man. Talk to the people around you, like, dude, you gotta try this amp. Plug into this. This is great. You know?
Oh, totally. I actually get a kick out of that because, like, sometimes, especially Old Town's got a lot of pedals, and once in a while, it's like there's something weird in there that I just have been fortunate enough to play or something. And, you know, there may not be a sales guy standing there, but I've pretended to be the sales guy before. Not like actually impersonated a worker there, but just been like, oh, yeah, see, you're looking at that, you know, whatever pedal. Mm-hmm. Oh, that vintage, you know, whatever, Big Muff or something. What are you doing with it? You know, just kind of talk to them and be like, oh, maybe you want this or that. You know, I play a lot of pedals, so, you know, just try to share information. So that can be useful. Like talking about gear with gear nerds in a guitar store moves equipment. The owners aren't going to be mad about that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's not a whole lot of local shops. My closest shop to me is Guitar Center. And it just happens that, like, I know all the guys in there. So it's, and they're all really good people. You know what I mean? They know what they're talking about. You know, some of the guitarists are hit and miss as far as that goes. But here in Indiana, the guys are, and actually there's two of them. One's like 30 minutes away, one's an hour away. And both of them have pretty good staff. But anyways, the close one here in Greenwood, it wasn't too long ago. I was playing like an AC-15. Some kid came up and was like, holy cow, that sounds good. Actually didn't say that, but that's what he meant. and I was like, yeah, man, these are really cool amps and they're pretty inexpensive. I didn't want to go too far. I didn't want to be like, but it's not EF-86 based or, you know, and get all nerdy on him because he, you know, there's a good chance he'd be like, what the hell is an EF-86? So,
right.
So anyways, I was like, yeah, I mean, it's really good. It sounds, it's especially for the price, you really can't beat it. And, so I'm like, here, try it. And he's like, oh man, no, yeah, that's okay. And I'm like, no, seriously, I'm just hanging out. So, you know, I unplugged, gave it to him, and he jammed on it he was jamming on it when I left. So maybe he bought it, I don't know. But one thing, I've thought about doing this before, about trolling people in stores, especially like that sell our pedals. If they don't recognize me, I've thought about going in and like playing one and be like, this sucks. I don't know what company this is.
Oh,
never
man,
heard of
funny.
It. But this is the worst pedal ever, you know? But then I chickened out and I thought that might actually be bad because then they might start thinking it actually does suck.
Oh yeah, and they will change their mind.
Right, and they're like, "Huh, maybe it does suck."
No, you know what? I used to like this, but you're right. The mids are way too present in this. There's just nothing you can do about it.
I'm never selling
any of this Wampler stuff ever again.
Yeah, exactly. I do admit though, I do like whenever I see people post pictures of pedals on Instagram. If I know the people, I'll do this. I usually chime in and say that all the Wamplers suck. You know?
Yes,
I've noticed.
Like
doing it. I do. I actually enjoy that.
You've done it to me.
Great cuddle board, except those Wamplers. They suck. You should get rid of those immediately.
You get rid of those, and you definitely should get some Earthquaker stuff instead.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag never buy Wampler.
No. Speaking of things completely out of context, someone pointed out that my laughing is wheezy and that I should start calling myself Wheezy Wampler.
Is it me? I just wheezed. It could be me.
No.
This is the Wheezy Wyland Wampler podcast. Welcome to it, everybody.
I don't know why genetically that became my laugh, but that's my laugh. So, hey, and that one was faked. But
I have lots of laughs. They're not all the same, and I can't control which one comes out at what time. So,
I knew you were faking all along.
Don't tell everyone. Keep that quiet.
So, anyways,
yes,
my friend
that reminds
David,
me.
My friend oh. David Agius. Mm-hmm. That is our thoughts on guitar shop etiquette.
This is my real thought on guitar shop etiquette. All that I said before was made up. No. This is what I really think, and I think it's not just pertaining to guitar shops, but life in general. It's like, just be nice. On the owner side and on the customer side. That's all you got to do, and you'll probably, if you're an owner, you'll sell more product. If you're a customer, you'll probably get better deals.
That's true. Using a bullying tactic of negotiation, not usually the best way forward.
No.
Because, that doesn't work very well. Both in life and in guitar stores.
If you really think about it, Brian, life really is just one big guitar store.
It is. I mean, and I guess I say that because there's a situation where someone had threatened that if I didn't send them a pedal, they were going to tell everybody that they had a bad customer service deal with. Like, they're like, if you don't send me a pedal, I'm going to, you know, go on all these forums and say all this crap. I'm like, oh, you're threatening me. Go ahead. I don't
right.
care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you're not going to blackmail me. I'm sorry.
No. Like, well, I guess you just got to do whatever you got to do then, don't you? Like, go for it, buddy.
There are those instances, though. I mean, there are jerk people in the world, unfortunately. And I'm sorry, David, but it sounded like you got one there in Australia. I think it's in Australia you're at. Sydney. Yeah, that would be Australia. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a different Sydney somewhere else that's not Australia. In that case, ignore me. Wait a minute. You misspelled favorite, so you probably said Australia. Yep.
Oh, do you say anything about color in there? Color.
Looks like he's got a couple extra U's here and there.
Yeah.
So.
Color. Favor. I don't even know how to say it.
Well, I think the thing is, like, I don't know. Maybe once we came to America, we're like, screw that extra U, man. Let's pull those out of words.
Yeah. You know? There ain't no U in freedom. We don't need that. America.
Where's my gun?
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty
Where's
much.
My musket? Anyway. You can
totally
take
off topic.
You can never take my blunderbuss away from me. Anyway.
All right. So that's all I got for this week, my man.
I feel like I have so much more to add on this, but I don't know what it is, or I should just stop while I'm ahead.
Well, feel free if you want to. I'm short and sweet, and then I get to the point as well.
I'm kind of hungry, so I better just call it. I think it's shaping up to be a B's and G's night, I think.
I just had my B's and G's, actually.
Did you some B's and G's?
For lunch,
man.
I did. Indeed, I did.
It's so good.
The old
Speaking
biscuits
that,
and gravy. The American biscuits and gravy. And biscuits and gravy, like in England, come to find out, totally different thing. They don't go well together. So, American biscuits and gravy, let's call it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I seen that thread in your Facebook group. And I wanted to chime in, but it was getting so long. I was like, I don't want to get notifications on this for days and days and days.
Yes, this is an actual thread in our Facebook tone group. And it was like 90 comments or something crazy.
Well, I think the guy that started it, he's never consumed American biscuits and gravy, because it seemed like his perception of it was quite a bit different than what it actually is.
Which is pretty common. I mean, if you haven't been, to America a lot, that's pretty common. I remember when Jason Wilding, guy that works for Wamplers, he lives in England. And,
he's a sweetheart.
Can be. He likes to troll people. So if you ever look at Josh Scott's post on Facebook, Jason always trolls him, and it's kind of an ongoing, it's a lighthearted joke the three of us share together.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, where was I going with that? So yeah, so you know, when we were talking about Biscuits and Gravy a while back, he was like, that sounds absolutely disgusting.
I think, yeah, you got to explain it to him because it's not the same thing. Like, I remember that, I can't remember the guy's name who started the thread, but he was like, what is that? That stuff, and it's got the white sauce and the lumpy bits in it. I'm like, the lumpy bits are sausage, dude. Like, it's sausage. How can that be bad?
It's fattening and greasy and sweet and everything that's whole and wholesome.
Yes. Like, I know the Brits like a good sausage, so I can't imagine them having a problem with sausage. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
All right, man. That's all I have for this week.
That's all I've got, too.
All right.
Brian, I'll talk to you about gravy off the air.
Until next week.
Bye.
So thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can always email podcast@womplepebbles.com. Email Blake directly at info@tonemob.com. Hey, also, if you guys like these episodes, I'd like to ask a big favor of you. If you do like these episodes and you have a friend that might like them as well, when you get a chance, can you just share this episode or maybe just send them a quick message that says, hey, if you haven't heard of this podcast, please check it out. I think you'll like it. And that, of course, that's if you feel that way. If you hate the podcast, then I guess you could text them just as well and say the same thing to them, then say that same thing to them. But yeah, really, it would mean a lot to me. If you do like the podcast, we're trying to grow it, trying to reach more people. So if you do like the podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. Really appreciate it. And until next week, we'll catch you guys later.